Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Spring is my favorite time to start a new workout routine. With the weather warming up, it feels easier to get into the rhythm of things. Whether you have 20 minutes or an hour for a Pilates class or outdoor guided walk, Peloton has everything you need to help you get going. Get a head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to Ought Know Better's Berardi and Coke, the post-match review. Tonight, we've got Big Lou over from LS11. Thank you ever so much for joining us, Lou. How are we doing?
Yeah, really good. Thanks, mate.
Pleased to hear that. Yeah, really pleased to hear it. Yeah, not too bad, actually. Not too bad at all. A bit tired. I drove straight back after the game last night, and I won't be doing that again, man, because it was pitch black. There was nothing on the roads. I was just like driving into an abyss, and like every now and then there'd be a lorry coming towards me. I'd like sort of like in my eyes. And we are joined by OKB regular Mr. Smarty Pants. How are you doing?
How are you doing? I'm all right, thank you. Not bad.
Good. Pleased to hear it. Pleased to hear it. So yeah, we've got the post match review to do tonight from last night's Hull game under the light. I forgot we played them because Watford and Hull playing same colours. I'm like, I always get them similar colours, but I forgot who we were going to be talking about. So yeah, we're going to have a bit of a chat about that. You'll all be pleased to know, those of you that come over from Joe's, thanks for coming. You'll be pleased to know that Kilgallen has been banned from this show because I know Joe doesn't like banning people, but they can get booked. I ain't got time for people like that when I'm feeling tired and that. So yeah, he's been banned. And yeah, we'll get on to a bit of chat in a minute.
Hi, this is Don Matteo, and you are listening to the Ought to Know Better podcast. Let's do this.
You look like fucking Brolin, you're a Leeds hating bastard.
I look like some sort of fucking weird floating head. No.
You tentacle playing a bit, innit?
I mean, I feel a bit right, dickhead.
Nothing spectacular, really.
Nothing. All right. So the first thing first, I suppose, to talk about is, no, actually, we won't. I'll save that. I'll save the spectacular stuff to talk about a little bit later, because let's do a bit of a shit sandwich.
Whilst eating your cheese baguette.
Yeah, I'm halfway through it. Look, I'm about six, how many inches is that? Just out of interest.
It depends who you are, mate.
Asking for a friend. Yeah, thanks, lads, for joining me. Good result in the end last night, but Lou, I think you you didn't go last night, did you?
No.
So I'll come to you, I think, first, and just give me a bit of a rundown on your thoughts. How did it look? I mean, for me, in the short, it felt like Hull probably deserved some out of that game. And I've seen all sorts of data and analytics and XG and all that suggesting that we were loads more dominant, but it didn't feel like that for me. How did it go for you?
In the end, I think we were just more clinical. I think we were just about good enough for the win. They did that. They had a lot of the ball, no out and out striker, which showed for quite a lot of the game, and they didn't put their chances away. I don't think they created. Watching it back, I didn't think they created much. Like, they did look good on the ball. They did keep the ball well. I mean, but, you know, I think in certain areas of the field, in the end, I think that's sort of what the plan was, a little bit you know, shades of Jesse Marsh pressing in certain areas of the pitch. And I think they did look a little bit dodgy when we did have the energy to press. But as someone mentioned in the comments, I think we had probably about six players yesterday, and fit players, and still won 3-1. So, yeah, it was a stressful game. And we were probably 2 minutes away from what would have felt like disaster, I think, if we drew that game yesterday. But that's what we've become accustomed to. I think a few more days now off, a few more training sessions, some good rehab, and we should be back playing some better stuff. Hopefully, well, we're going to need to against Cov.
Yeah, we'll have a little brief chat about Coventry a little bit later. But yeah, I mean, I still think we deserve the win, and I don't for any. But I just can't help but feeling at the moment, Smarty, I'm going into every single game with this. I don't know if it's nerves because of everything that's happened in the past to us as Leeds fans. We've been burnt enough times to know that things don't ever happen easily for us, do they? And whilst there's definitely going to be a number of twists and turns, I suggest, before the end of the season, it almost always feels to me that we don't go into games knowing. And I'm contradicting myself because I predicted a 3-0 win here. But it feels like we don't go into games with this confidence at the moment. There's a sense of nervousness around, and it transpires into the stadium, doesn't it?
Such is the life of a Leeds fan, isn't it? I think that you know, given the run that we've been on since the turn of the year, there's an air of expectancy now, and I think you can tell that there's a bit of a bit of apprehension in the crowd. You know, definitely at Elland Road, you could feel it last night. We had a good 15, 20 minutes of, you know, us and them, you know, with the whole fans and stuff, and then it started to die down. And I've seen that it's been quite a common theme throughout this year, where if we're not right on top of it, right from the start, then the fans tend to die down a little bit. And you know, credit to the whole fans, they were in good voice, they were in fine fettle. You know, I dare say probably the best set of fans to come to Elland Road last night. But do you know what, mate? It's the first time I felt nervous whilst I've been at home this year. I turned to one of the lads and said, I am actually feeling a bit on edge tonight, and I don't know why. And I don't know whether it's because it's a Yorkshire derby, it's the Easter weekend.
It's not really, you know, a Yorkshire derby, the Humberside, is it?
Well, it is. It is, isn't it? You know, whether you say or not, it is. You know, it's all, and we're one of their biggest, if not the biggest game for them, aren't we? You know, so, and then obviously the Easter weekend thing where we've not won on Easter Monday for Christ knows how many games and years or whatever it is. So there were a lot of things to like kind of think, oh God, how are we going to get on? Add to that it would appear that half of our team are jacked up on painkillers and everyone's ill and everyone's dying, and it's just like, fucking hell, it could go either way now. But I think, you know, on the whole, it were a relatively decent performance. I suppose if we started watching it the 60th minute, I could feel myself getting very, very angry, if I'm honest, just because they seem to just be so much better than us, especially in pockets in the middle of the park. On the wings, we were pretty decent. I thought we played well on the wings, but right in the middle, we just didn't seem to offer anything. They were quite clean cut, very good passing the ball. Obviously, they kept hold of the ball very, very well as well. And I just thought, this isn't like us to be dominated in such this way. But at the end of the day, we've got the 3 points. And we've got now, I think, is it 9 days?
Yeah.
Until our next game. So, that, you know,
it gives chat. Saturday, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Of course it is. What am I thinking of? Yeah, 6 days. Well, it's a fair old stretch. You know, he can obviously get his players back in. We've had internationals and all sorts of stuff in the way. It can get us. It can get the boys back in to do some decent training and get some shit rolling. Because that's clearly what we've been missing, because they've not been together for so long. So, but yeah, I'm actually quite looking forward to Saturday now.
I mean, I'm not.
Yeah,
I'm not. I don't look. I look forward to the games, but I don't at the same time, because I just it's so tight at the top at the minute. Like, for me,
you've got
it's,
to enjoy it though, mate. You
have
to enjoy this. You have to try and make yourself enjoy it, because it's not going to be like this if we get promoted next year.
No, you're
going to have no frigging fingernails left. We've had two seasons of absolute dross. This year has been absolutely brilliant. Everyone's smiling, everyone's happy, everyone's optimistic. You know, we've got a club to back again. You know, we feel like, you know, we are one. I don't want to be turned too wanky and a bit cringe, but, you know, we seem to be all as one again. And, you know, we've got to enjoy it, because it's going to be rough if we go back up there next year. next year.
It is, and we know it is. But I think the reason I'm not enjoying it, Smite, is because I'm so nervous, and it's, we're nervous because it means a lot to us. Do you know what I mean? And it's if we get promoted or not, it's not the be all and end all. We all agreed we enjoy being in the Championship, but the pinnacle and the holy grail of English football is to watch Leeds in the Premier League and then hopefully Europe and just improve year on year. Do you know? So yeah, I mean, Lou, where do you stand on all of this argument? I suppose around Championship. Premier League, where's your preference on the two? I mean, obviously watching in the Championship's been far more fun because we've won a few games. But to sign the best players, to play against the best players and everything is the Premier League. But you and I went to loads of away games in the Premier League, and it's not all it's made out to be, is it?
No, it becomes more about the alcohol in the end, doesn't it? Which is fine. I think it was less about the Yorkshire Derby thing. I think it's just the fact there's six, seven games to go, and that's just how the nerves feel. And you know, we've got the memories of Easter before, but we've already had the conversation about it being a different team and having a bit more mental stability. And it's weird actually, because there'll be a lot of comparisons between this season and the 2020 season, and I think I'm just realizing more now that 2020 team that wasn't very good. We just had an amazing coach who got a load of players playing really well who are ultimately now not very good. Like, this team is actually a good team. Obviously, Farker's a good coach. I'm not taking that away from him. But this team has a bit more about them, a bit mentally more stable and about getting it done, you know, like...
Mentally more stable. That's a nice way of putting it.
I just think... Yeah, I think when you look back and you look back at the team and you compared them, like, Bielsa was a miracle worker, really, to be honest, with that. That team wouldn't get promoted under Farker. I think Farker knows he's quite lucky with the squad he's got. It's to be honest, in a nutshell, it's fucking annoying we're not already promoted because...
It is, yeah.
Like, I don't know. That's the most annoying thing about it because... I was really hoping for sort of like four or five dead rubbers to go to, and just that would be proper enjoyment for me. But I'm not looking forward to potentially losing 25 games next season in the Prem.
Just getting thumped every week.
I think that nervousness as well, just going back to last night, was enhanced by Ipswich snatching it at the death. Do you know what I mean? Because they've really put the pressure on us again, and we almost had to win to keep that pressure back on, and you know, to reverse that. And I've said it, I don't know how many times this season, but we're into the last six games, and Ipswich just simply haven't dropped off. They've come up with a League One squad. They've made a few signings here and there, and they're not dropping off. I think credit to them where it's due. They're there on merit. Do you know what I mean? It's not because they've been lucky. I mean, they have been lucky because they have been lucky. And you watch some of the goals that they've scored in the 90th minute. But you make your own luck. And if you're still playing at 100%, you know, we used to do it quite a bit under Marcelo, score late goals because we were fitter and we'd work right up to the final whistle. And credit to him, you know, it's made for a really exciting Championship season. And now, as you say, quite rightly, I wish we're already promoted at this stage, but the realism is that we isn't, and we've got six more games to win. Mm. And even if we win them all, we might still not get promoted, because if the others win all theirs, they're promoted. I don't think that'll happen, Smarty. I don't think that'll happen. But did you take enough confidence out of last night's performance going into the fixtures we've got coming up that actually we still might or should get automatic promotion?
I think so. You know, you look at Watford and the first half, and again, the first half against Hull were pretty poor by our own standards, you know. But to say that we've got, you know, 4 points out of those two games, where I thought, you know, on a large, we were pretty crap. We were naff. And to scrape a draw against Watford, and then to actually put it to bed, you know, in fantastic style as well, might add, from Dan James, you know, fair play to him. I'm sure we'll go into the the penalty arguments in a little bit. But, you know, to come away with 4 points after playing so very, very average, I think we've done really, really well. And like you say, it might be just a season of all seasons, you know, especially if... I've just had a quick look at the Ipswich fixtures, and they've got a lot of difficult teams coming up, very, very hard teams coming up. And the last team that they've got to play in the season is Huddersfield Town. Now, Huddersfield Town might be trying to stay up. Can you imagine if they beat them, or if they have to win at Ipswich, one, to send us up, and two, to either chuff and save themselves? Can you imagine the turmoil that'll
happen?
They've
done us a favour before, Smarty.
It'll be glorious. Yeah, well, they did. They didn't, you know. They just basically sealed his promotion, didn't they? Smith Rowe, yeah.
Let's hope they can get him on an emergency loan for that last game.
Yeah. But can you imagine Town having to win to save themselves, but to potentially send us up? That'd just be fucking brilliant, wouldn't it? That'd be absolutely brilliant. And I work with loads of Town fans, and it will absolutely sting again. if they do it again for us, you know, it's brilliant. Yeah. It'll be real.
I think based on last night's performance, certainly after we'd conceded, I don't think we were much better than all up until sort of last 15, 20 minutes ago when he rang the changes. I felt we were under constant pressure. They controlled the ball really well. Some of their passing was really good, and I think that started with me. And I mentioned this just a minute ago on Joe's from Paddy Bamford leading the line, which he was still doing relatively well, even though he had a poor game, I think. He was leading the press, and I mentioned that. I don't know if you picked up on this, but Rutter doesn't seem to want to do a lot of pressing and moving around defensively. And it creates an obvious out ball, quite easy to get out, actually. And in a couple of passes, they're almost already in our half or final third of the field. Am I miles off there, or was I just, am I being overcritical, do you think, of Rutter's defensive work?
I think the hernia thing is probably playing a part. I was surprised he played 90 minutes last night, to be honest. But the things that you wouldn't get away with in the Prem, I think you can get away with in the Championship, in terms of he showed enough glimpses of class last night in build-up to be properly contributing still. I don't think he was terrible. I think he was pretty bad against Watford, to be honest. And that's what it is in the Championship. It's not easy, and it was a fine margin and a bit of quality from our best player in the end on the 88th minute to go past someone who looked a bit tired, and he drew a foul. And ultimately, that's the moment that won us the game. So, and Somerville can be quite a frustrating player in many ways, but you always know if he's on the pitch, he's got that ability until the final whistle to produce something. I didn't think there was going to be a late show for Leeds yesterday. I thought we were doomed to a draw. So I did feel elation definitely at the end, but it was because they had the ball for so much of the game. It was like Smarty said before we came on, he said he was just still annoyed a little bit really by it all. So it was...
Yeah. I did say that. I said to Lou just before we came on, I says, I still feel a little bit, maybe begrudgingly, but I still do feel a little bit annoyed that we were outplayed. I mean, we were outplayed for the most part of that game. You know, Hull definitely took it to us. They were winning most 50-50s. They seemed to want it more. They were more hungry than us. And they were very, very sharp in the passing and the pressing. They played very, very well. It's just they didn't like, and Lou's already alluded to it, they just didn't create enough. And this bloody what's the name of their winger that Byram had pocketed all game?
Pellegrin.
That's the one. I don't know what the fucking all these people that you know have labelled him like best player in Chuffing Championship. I have no idea what he is because he didn't do a thing. He didn't do anything. And but Sam Byram, who basically said to Farker apparently that I can't sprint anymore at half time.
Yeah,
dealt with him very easily.
I never look at these sorts of stats and stuff like that. But someone shared some Philogene stats on Twitter right after the game. And I don't know if this is a lot or not for a winger, but Philogene lost the ball 18 times yesterday in a match. Like,
apparently so, yeah.
That sounds like loads, you know. And I wouldn't sort of pick him out as somebody that had a bad game. I didn't think he was amazing. And like you say, Byram was all over him. But losing the ball 18 times and you're sort of lauded as one of the best wingers or one of the best players in the league is just so far off it, you know.
Mm. I've actually been having a bit of a conversation with a couple of Hull fans today, and they said that he's actually, since his injury, he's not been as he's been playing for himself, and he's not been the type of player that that from when they signed him. So I think their expectations have dropped of him somewhat as well, but relatively recently. But I mean, yeah, I mean for them, their goal was coming for me, and it did silence us. You know, the nerves were banging, and I think that was coupled with obviously Ipswich getting a late winner as well. We felt we had to win, but from when they scored their goal, which was, when was it? Was it about 35 minutes in their goal?
Yeah,
40 minutes in, wasn't it? And then right up until sort of when we started making some changes, I felt they pretty much controlled the majority of the ball in the game. They had a couple of shots that went just wide. But they didn't really do much with it. And I compared them to Yapstam's Reading earlier on Joe's show. It's all good having all this possession, but it's what you do with it. Whereas I think actually with the possession that they kept, they would have been quite happy coming away from Elland Road with a point. Whereas we knew we had to then go for it and win it. One of the real questions that's going around is around Daniel Farke and his game and man management. Now there's a couple of questions here. So the first one's probably going to be more around substitutes and timings of those and things. I think that he's doing really well with him. Obviously, we're still unbeaten this season, unbeaten at home. But do either of you disagree? Do you think that we could be looking at maybe the bench a little bit earlier for something?
I think we should be used to it now after 40 games. Yeah. We know when they're going to be coming on.
Yeah.
It's always around the 60th to 70th minute, isn't it? But you could set your frigging watch to it, like, you know. He just doesn't seem to... And I think he has said as much in interviews right early in the season that he wants to be able to give the players or the starting players the benefit of the doubt to see if they can turn their performances around themselves, you know, before that. But, you know, last night we're absolutely screaming for some changes because we were just getting overrun. Yeah.
And I think we've had, obviously, stronger benches over the course of the season as well than we did last night, which is why it was great to see Joseph come on and make an impact again. I think Piru was much better than he was against Watford when he came on. He obviously got an assist for Dan James and, you know, probably should have had the penalty as well. But it's when you've got sort of like Connor Roberts and Nonto as well on the bench, that's an even bigger impact in all areas of the pitch then. So if we can get those players back fit, I think you're a little bit more confident going into the last 20 minutes, you know. But like Farke does, we know when he's going to throw on the players, and it's pretty much depending on the game situation whether they're going to be attacking ones or, you know, slightly more cautious options. But I don't get annoyed by it. I mean, I the only thing I would have probably done differently if I was the manager would be Joseph. We were screaming out for Joseph up top really a lot sooner than that.
Bamford looked quite leggy, didn't he?
He looked leggy, but I also think he's such a vulnerable character that you can tell that miss got in his head basically straight away. Like his body language was instantly different. He looked different when he came and sat on the bench. And thankfully for us, and I think that would have been the thing we would have been talking about tonight, is the narrative would have been all about Bamford again for missing that opportunity and us drawing the game. So that win, it was so massive on that basis that we don't want the fan base turning toxic with six games to go. Instead, we can move on from that miss, despite it, in my opinion, being quite unlucky. The defender looked like he was going to get it the whole time and didn't. So I'm glad that we're talking about a win how many chances Bamford's missed in the last three seasons, because we've already been there and done it and spoken about it.
Yeah. I think with Bamford, though, the reason he starts is because of the work rate that he does, and obviously game state, he tires him out. Sorry, Smarty, 2 seconds.
No, that's fine.
Otherwise, I'll forget. my memory is shocking these days. If I don't say it, I'll just forget. So what was I saying? Oh, yeah, Bamford. The reason Joseph does look so good. He's playing against tired legs, and he's playing for 20 minutes. He's got 20 minutes to use that energy. I don't for 1 minute think that Joseph isn't going to be a better striker than Bamford over in the future. And probably his all round game will mould and probably he hopefully will mould into that number nine and do everything that Bamford does for 78 minutes until we make a sub. But you've got to take into account Matteo Joseph couldn't do what he does for 70 minutes until somebody else comes on, because he just runs around and he's non-stop. The first thing he did, clattered Louis Coyle, didn't he? He clattered him and let him know glorious. That he was there. It was glorious. And Bamford's also got experience. I mean, to throw somebody in at this stage of a season for the last six games in a promotion race who's got no experience of it, you know, it's a flip of a coin. It could work really well, and he scores 10 goals in six games and gets us promoted, or it could be that actually we dent Joseph's confidence, and Bamford definitely isn't a game changer. So you lose two strikers there on that instance. Because I'm seeing calls all over for saying Joseph's got to start. What's your thoughts on it? I'll start with you, Smart, actually, because I know you had something to say. Sorry, mate.
No, you're all right. Just basically what you said about Bamford. You know, he's like you say, he's definitely a confidence player, but to start Joseph, I think would be unwise. You want someone like Bamford with his experience and the way that he pulls and exploits the pockets of space. He pulls players here, there, and everywhere. He's very, very important to how we set up as a team. Joseph, again, you go back to Joffrey Gellert. In the season where he made a big impact, he came on as a substitute. He didn't start. He came in because we knew we'd get an instant reaction from the squad, from our squad. Once he got in, obviously the reaction from the crowd, he got a big big cheer when he came on the field. That's gonna spur him on a little bit as well, did Matteo Joseph. So you know these things, we've got to kind of take the rose tinted glasses off a little bit and just think, you know, realistically, what is he going to bring to the, you know, bring to the starting, the starting lineup, Christ, bring to the forefront more than Bamford is, you know, in those initial stages of the game? Because I don't think he gets, for me, he doesn't get a start. I'm not saying that he doesn't deserve it or anything like that. I just think that I like to keep it the way we are and the way that he's impacting games, because at the end of the day, I don't think Patrick Bamford impacts a game like Joseph does if he were to come on as a late substitute, in my opinion.
No, and Arthur Bushford said, look, he got the winner for Spain under 21s last week as well.
He did, yeah.
But that was off the bench. He came off the bench for them as well. It's not like he played 90 minutes. So it is almost like he's, you know, that. And I think he's actually flourishing in that role, Lou. I think that's a good starting point for his senior career. We've got to appreciate he's not played any senior football up until this season. Did he play last year? Did he come on last year? He might have had a couple of appearances last year or something.
But I think he's a confident lad, isn't he? But Falk is definitely using the strikers the right way around. I said on Twitter today, I'm just thankful we have another option, because he has sort of been on the periphery for a while. And if he didn't score two against Chelsea, he might not have got any game time at all. I think that that game particularly sort of earned Farkas trust a little bit that he can come on and do that job. Obviously, he started that game and scored two really good goals against a top six Premier League team. I wouldn't say they've got a good defence, because they haven't. But he was brilliant that day. And he shows a lot of maturity, I think. And without going too deep into it, there's one thing particularly that he does every game where he's hustling for the ball up top and working really hard without fouling the defender and giving away a silly foul. He does enough to sort of stay hustling for the ball without giving it away. And I think that's really, really good thing, because he could get overexcited when he comes on and, you know, I want to make an impact. But ultimately, he's in good positions to score goals. He probably should have put that one away last night that hit the post. But you can't ask for any more, really. You know, like the narrative, if Bamford missed that chance, for instance, would have been he'd have got pelters, because it would have been two in one game. So I love Joseph. I think he's brilliant. I think he's going to be a really good player. But we're using him how we should be at the moment. And I wouldn't be surprised if between now and the end of the season he gets a couple more really important goals.
No, absolutely. I completely agree. There's there was a comment I just seen, and I can't find it now, but there we are. No, it's gone. Ah, sorry, miss. Yeah, Scooby. Misses aside, Paddy wasn't hustling a lot of the time doing that Rodney thing. I won't challenge. Maybe he'll miss it. Door, but Joseph was back on. Put yourself about. I think we've been pretty harsh on Bamford there. I think you're been pretty harsh on Bamford there. I think if you actually do watch how much he presses, last night he did do a lot of what he was doing, a lot of hustling. And somebody else commented about Louis Coyle having him in his pocket, who's a right back or something like that. Well, actually, if you actually watch Bamford, he's a nightmare to play against for centre backs because he does put his back into him and he's all over him. He might not win every header, he might not win any headers, but he's still an absolute nightmare, and he's the one who's tiring him out. And it's all quite easy to suggest.
Two fullbacks went off injured in the end.
Yeah, it went well. In fairness, it was because Coyle got clattered by Joseph. To be fair, was the reason he went off, but. But you don't necessarily get that if Bamford's not played. So when Joseph comes on, if they've not been knackered and pulled about and that, he doesn't get that extra yard of space, or you know, he doesn't look as effective. So I think we've got to be quite sensible in the respect that, you know, we can't judge Bamford based on his goals. We've won 12 out of 14 games since Bamford's been back from injury. Why are people considering changing that?
He's just easy to criticise. He's just,
yeah.
I don't know what it is. It's
easy to find fault, and there's a blame. There's a culture of blame, or a blame culture, however you want to look at it. Yeah. And we try to nitpick and find out what we could possibly pin some sort of blame to, immediately make that change. When really, when you look at it, you know, take those tinted glasses off. It's not a change that needs to be made. It's just those fundamental bits that haven't come together at that one point, or whether it be the game or, you know, throughout the week, which we've seen. You know, we've had guys that have come in straight away from internationals. They looked leggy. Apparently, they are knackered. Half a team are on painkillers. Some aren't fit. Apparently, Joe Rodon's back's having back spasms. And there's issues all over the field. You know, that we're not fully fit. We're not raring to go. But yet, we're still pulling performances out of the bag. I think people need to just remember that. Although, you know, sometimes it's quite easy to. I mean, I hated Bamford after. When I say hated, that's strong. the air was blue around me when he made that miss. But since seeing it back from a different angle, I can see that, you know, it was a difficult challenge. I mean, when a ball's flying at you at sort of like waist height and you're stretching for it, thinking a defender's going to get it.
Should have hit it with his right foot though.
He should have. I said exact same thing. I said if he'd have gone through with his right foot, he'd have knocked that in. Or he could have even just run forward and let it hit him on his tit.
Would we be having this same conversation if Bamford scored last night about replacing him? Do you think?
Nope.
If he'd have put that chance away, just that one chance. So that shows you then, doesn't it, how fickle we are? That actually he's missed a simple chance, and actually now we're considering swapping him for somebody who's not played a full game in the Championship ever.
It's because we got a glimpse of last season's Bamford, didn't we? Last night we had a little tiny glimpse of the window into the past, thinking, "Oh shit, he's going again. He's going to be shit again. Fucking hell, get him off." You know, and really, we just need to crack on and let him do his thing.
And it's about contributions. We've had this discussion so many times this season. We've had Nonto come in, score goals, got injured. We've had Bamford score goals in clusters. It's all about the bigger picture. We can't just forget that Bamford has, you know, scored goals this season. Like, people are going to go through... He's not even going through a bad patch. He's just, you know, fatigued like a lot of the other guys, you know. He did have more of a rest than anyone, so I guess he probably got less of an excuse than, you know, like... probably Ampadu and Rodon, who played a lot of minutes. But yeah, like I say, bigger picture, big contributions from Bamford since he's come back fit. And if we're honest, we didn't think he was going to contribute anything at all at one point. And it was all about, where do we play Pirou and Reuter? You know, like let's swap them. That's what it was. So I'm happy with Bamford's contribution. Maybe he didn't run as much as he has done in games, but he's still very important. I think you see it more live, Bamford. I think that's when you can appreciate.
That's right.
When you're at the game, when you're watching him, you don't see it. You don't see it on the TV. So I'm not going to sit here and say I don't think he was running as much. If anyone that was at the game would be able to say definitively if Bamford worked hard or not, he still came off the pitch knackered. I think he contributed plenty. He knackered out that defence, and I think they looked shaky when we did press.
Yeah, it's funny you should say that about people not being there in the ground and not seeing the bigger picture, because it's true. One of the guys I work with, he doesn't go to the games often, but he had a hospitality treat for his 60th birthday. And he said, you know, it's actually quite shocking, you know, how much more that you see when you're actually in the stadium, that you see more, much more than you do on a little television. And it's right, you know, because you've got the director's cut when you're sat at home. You know, you see what the director wants you to see or what the camera sees. You don't see what's happening. The camera might be focused on Bamford or whatever, but you might not be seeing what's happening at the other side of the field.
Yeah.
The camera might be on someone else, but you won't see where Patrick Bamford's line. I watch him. You know, the camera will be 100% on Nonto or Daniel James or something like that, but I'm watching where Bamford's moving, and he's moving into little pockets to try and obviously try and gain a little bit, a yard of space, or, you know, it's you don't see that on TV. And it's 100% true what you've just
also
said.
Also, the stress of watching it on TV as well, the emotion you're feeling. You're not watching for stuff, which is why if you're going to have an opinion, probably watch it back with a different perspective, knowing that we've won the game. If I watched it back, I'm not stressed, and all of a sudden for someone that loves football, you're looking at what different players contributed, and you know, you've got time to focus on other things. I don't think on the TV you're focused on that. You're thinking obviously it depends where you sit as well, but we were talking about this in the East Stand, as rubbish as it is, or it can be up in the upper tier. I quite like that. I can see a lot of the game, and I would be more sort of
FIFA placed. Telebroadcast cam.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, literally. Well, I feel like I'd be better placed to say, have an opinion on things like that, where you're sort of, you know, you can judge.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Let's move on from Paddy. I think we're all certainly of the. In fact, yeah. I'll put a poll in a moment or two, saying, does Paddy start? Do you start Paddy for the rest of the season, or give Mateo a run? And we'll see what everybody else thinks. I think we're all unanimous. Move on then. So one of the things you said earlier on, Smite, that picked up on that we were relatively weak centrally last night, which is mad. And I think I.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I've got my reasons, but I'll ask you then. How do you think Archie and Kamara played together last night?
Are you going to me first, or are you going to Luke?
Yeah,
first?
Please, mate. Yeah,
go me for first. I thought Archie played well in bits. I don't think it was necessarily one of his better games, but you know, he's relying on Kamara doing his, you know, his little shimmies here, there, and everywhere. We didn't have anyone to break up their pace. They didn't, you know, Gruyve was clearly a massive loss for us. Not that I'm saying RIP Gruyve or anything before anyone starts. But yeah, we didn't have anyone breaking up that play as much. And as good as Kamara can be, I often find that when we're under the cosh a little bit, not that he doesn't go missing, but he's quite ineffective. When we're attacking with the ball, he's much more effective. And obviously, Archie Gray ran into trouble a couple of times himself, trying to do probably a little bit too much or doing. But it's just great to watch him, a 17-year-old kid doing what he's doing. He's just. But we've said
18
this,
is now. This. He's allowed to get changed.
He is. I'll leave that there. But it's. I think Hull came with a game plan, and that was to exploit the space that they knew that Gruyve had left. I think the right call was to start Ampadu and Rodon together at the back, because I'm not going to bash Cooper, but you know, the performance from the defence last game, Watford, was pretty crummy, to say the least. So Rodon, however he may have probably, you know, been more effective in the middle, we were certainly would have been defensively weaker. So it's one of them, you know, if you do, you don't. But yeah, I thought Archie did okay. I thought Kamara did okay in bits, but he relatively went a little bit missing. I think the most areas where we were more effective were the wings. And luckily I was going to say, luckily we've got a really good defence to make sure that we don't get too many bits and bobs. Although I don't think Rodon did that well.
He was my man of the match last night.
He won his best game. Man of the match for me was Sam Byram or Somerville last night. Not Rodon.
We'll come on to man of the matches. Lou, do you think the reason that we're exploited quite easily? I felt because Rutter didn't do, I suppose, what a 10 naturally would defensively, I think. And whether that's through guidance from Daniel Farke, say, conserve your energy, you're a bit under the weather or you're coming back from an injury, whatever. Save your energy from when we've got the ball at feet and we're going forward and we've got a good enough back six in front of Meslier that'll actually pick up the pieces and you don't need to worry too much. But I think that's why we were exploited too easily. But then I also think, I don't know what your thoughts are on Archie and Kamara being too alike.
Played too similarly,
Lou?
Yeah, I don't think they're the best pairing, which is why I think to fit Archie Gray in at right back has been like the right choice. Obviously, he's had a few shaky moments against quick wingers, but when you have had Gruev and Kamara, they complement each other so well. How many times over the last 4 or 5 years have we talked about the importance of a central defensive midfield player in Phillips and that anchor and everything? Gruev's really good at it. He allows Kamara to do something different. And having Archie Gray at right back has sort of allowed him to do some of those midfieldery bits. And he's got a lot better in that position. He's obviously nowhere near a Premier League standard right back. But I do like Archie Gray in midfield, but I only like Archie Gray in midfield with either Ampadu or Gruev. So, yeah, I think that's probably the only reason we struggled centrally. I agree with you both about that. So once we get those options, I think we'll be back looking a lot stronger. It would be interesting to know, even last night, if obviously we mentioned some of it may have been tactical last night to press them in certain areas of the pitch or let them have the ball or whatever. Maybe some of that was down to some of the fatigue of players and just holding our shape and sort of staying in the game and waiting for those moments to pounce on the basis of energy conservation, basically. You know, press in those areas of the pitch where we can pick up the ball and create chances, which if you watch the game, then you that's pretty much what unfolded, really. I don't think we were ever going to be talking about Gruev in this capacity after how he started, but he's not even quick, but he's absolutely everywhere. Tackles, interceptions, he's just a really clever little footballer, isn't he? And if we
the
can get
him, of his tackles is brilliant, isn't it?
I mean, yeah, because he manages to slide from behind, grabbing the ball without fouling.
God,
he's done it so many times.
Yeah. Not doing a strike.
Yeah, exactly.
Snapping
legs. Yeah.
So
we need him back, basically.
And him and Ampadu, Gruev and Ampadu are quite similar in that role, aren't they? Whereas Archie and Kamara are very similar in their central midfield roles as well. Which is the frustrating thing, because actually, if Connor Roberts was available, then if Gruev was available, then Archie would probably go back to right back, wouldn't he? In realism. But really? I thought Byram and Firpo played quite well at fullback yesterday. Byram kept Philogene in his pocket, and so did Firpo, even when he switched wings, and he was meant to be their danger man. So, I think just really quickly on that, if or when we got promoted and the trouble that poor Calvin's having down in the Big Smoke and at City and that, how good would he be in that system as that defensive win the ball back midfielder with say even an Archie Gray or a Kamara at Sarabin?
Oh,
absolutely go in there. Fuck it.
10 million and we'll take him home.
Yeah, I think it'd be perfect for a step up.
It's hard to say. Like, it's just the classic media onslaught of just because he's in a bad run of form, he's shit, and he's only that was a bit Chris Wilder that, and Bamford, and anyway,
Muppets from Leeds.
Muppets from Leeds, yeah. He was only good under Bielsa and all of that, so. Just lack of confidence.
It was class under Southgate as well. It was class under
Southgate. I don't want to spend too much time on it. I just felt that actually, you know, you look at our system, the way we play, and he is the ideal upgrade, I suppose, on Gruev in that type of position.
If the money was there, he'd 100% have him. We're not exactly blessed in central midfield positions. We just have enough players with quality to get by in this league. We'd 100% need strengthening in that area, you know. Ever since Click left, you know, if Gruev had would have struggled.
Click and Pablo have been massive losses for us in the centre of that midfield.
Yeah.
But yeah, if you were offering Calvin Phillips to me for 10 million quid or something like that, 15 million, I'd snap your hand.
Or even
off.
On loan.
Because you could guarantee the lad would be pulling up trees for his hometown club. And it would do what we, because the stuff that you see, I mean, we're probably going to digress a bit because you've pushed me a bit in there, Luke. When you saw him climbing on the bus at West Ham and you know, giving the finger to the fans or whoever else,
his nostrils were flaring. He was angry.
That is not Calvin Phillips. He's not having a good time.
He also played in a double pivot for England, Michael, and he got England Player of the Year. So I don't think it is a cookie crumbler, if I'm honest with you. I don't know.
No, he played in a much more much more attacking role under England, and he also used to play in that role for Leeds as well under other managers.
But yeah, I mean, we're speaking hypothetically here, and if we've got a checkbook and that. But let's move on to some positives. Let's start with it. We're doing a bit of a shit sandwich, so let's talk about the penalty. What are your thoughts on who should have taken the penalty, Lou? I know, obviously, in hindsight, it's quite easy to say Somerville because he scored now. But in that situation, do you think the right penalty taker?
Show us you're working out.
Well, it was just stressful to watch, wasn't it? Watching them, like it was just nailed on to miss after the bickering started. But I like how Farker nipped it in the bud and said that he thought Somerville was right because he was on the pitch, and he was, you know, he had the feel of the game. I'm pretty sure Pirro has come on and taken a penalty quite soon after coming on before, though, earlier this season. I couldn't tell you the game, but I'm pretty sure it's happened. So I think Farker was just nipping it in the bud so it didn't become a thing. But ultimately, it didn't matter. He scored. He just put an awful lot of pressure on himself, and he's got balls of steel. I mean, he was happy to have that conversation in front of 36,000 people, argue with a player who is the designated penalty taker, who would have, well, maybe he wasn't nervous, I don't know, but he's then gone and stroked it down the middle of the goal.
Take some knackers, that, doesn't
it? Ultimately, it was a ridiculous situation that worked out. But I prefer Somerville taking penalties. I don't really like the sort of Pirro style. It stresses me out a little bit. I used to like that Rafinha used to just smash it as well. Like, I prefer that option.
I think Strike scored our best penalty I've seen in Tetsinus.
Yeah, Strike's not a bad penalty taker.
Just blast the bastard.
Put your fucking foot through it.
Put your bloody laces through it. That's the way.
I did feel sorry for Pirro but he's contributed so many goals. He got an assist last night. It's, you know, it's fine. I don't think it will be spoken about. Somerville wants to be that guy. He's been told by Farker. He's been given that license. There's no way Farker can criticise him, really. There's no way he was going to do that because it's easier to back your man who's winning matches than ultimately what is, at the moment, Pirro is a bit part player on the bench. So... Yeah. Keep your main man happy.
I think it looked unprofessional, and Stevie says there it looked unprofessional and skips
his
ear.
That's not what Pirro Steve said. He said unprofessional.
Yeah, I know. I'm sure I know what he meant. But,
I think we could guess.
Skip says Pirro is the designated. These were my feelings, I suppose, that actually Pirro is the penalty taker. You know, no matter how long you've been on the pitch, it undermines him. And to see him arguing and his face when he walked away, I obviously didn't see his face from the opposite side of the field until actually I watched it back. And then, but you know, the only saving grace for me was P- Pirro ran over and celebrated, and it was nipped in the bud there. We could have been we could have been having a very different conversation today had we drawn that game last night. And no doubt it had been Paddy's fault, but it had also been...
Did Firpo have the ball at one point? That was strange.
Yeah, but that he does that to take the pressure off the taker.
Yeah.
It's not like Bamford did that one time before giving it to Pirro.
Yeah.
You know, he took ball and the whole stadium had went,
what?
Please God no. Oh God no. And then he just like with a smile like handed the ball over. But for me, I felt really, really sorry for Pirro. Because like you say, he's the designated penalty taker. However, given the fact, and Farker said as much in his post-match interview, that he'd only just come on the field. He'd literally been on the field minutes. Cree Somerville has got the, you know, bit between his teeth and he wants to smash one home. So he's one of them. I don't really care. Like we've all said, you know, he scored it. So, you know, it could have been a completely different conversation that we were having tonight. However...
But no,
it's not. But you know, ideally, I think if it were for me, I'd probably say, you know, come on, it's Pirro.
Who's winning Pirro's a fight done. Between Cree and Pirro?
I reckon Pirro would smash it out of him.
Yeah, I do. He's a fucking big lump, isn't he?
Yeah,
but Cree's athletic, man. He's got a good rig on him.
I reckon some of you would like bite and all sorts of stuff. You know, he wouldn't stop.
Get him in like a reverse choke or something like that
on his back of his neck, like that thing off,
smashing his face into him, like.
Like that little tribesman off Ace Ventura that comes out at rucksack. It just starts biting you to their knuckles. And
yeah, that's good, that.
I think Pirro would just leather him. I think Pirro just hit him once and that big game over. I don't think I'd like to fight Joel Pirro. He's a big old lad. Do you know actually where he's from?
He's Dutch.
He's Dutch, but his family's Surinamese, I think. I think he's actually... Really? Yeah. Same place as Clyde.
Are they hard there? Is that a thing?
Clyde Wynard. Well, Clyde Wynard's from there, and he's pretty tough.
Yeah. Big lad is Clyde.
Yes,
right, that's the shit part of the sandwich. Let's talk about some real positives then from last night. Obviously, the away fans giving Dan James the "you let your country down" for a few moments, only for him to silence them quite well towards the end. What do you make of it? I mean, it was to take some bollocks to shoot from there in the first place. Like, look, there's no, make no odds about it. It was an open goal, but to do that 90 odd minutes into a game,
the angle was still tough, though, wasn't it?
It was from the touchline, literally 5 yards into their half, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was a ridiculous goal. I was laughing my head off at how ridiculous it was.
No, not as good as Bamford's, though. He's not surely not going to rival that for goal of the season.
No, it's not even close.
No.
It's an opportunity. That was goal of the season.
The whole stadium, you know, shouted shoot or whatever. But do you know what had really been the cherry on the cake for me? If he'd have scored that and then belted it towards the Hull fans and just done a knee slide.
Or pointed to the Leeds badge because he's from Hull, isn't he?
Just go like that. Bosh. Yeah, that'd have been absolutely epic. But fair play to all fans giving him some shit. You know, we've sung "You Let Your Country Down" a few times at certain players. You know, he banged to rights, aren't you? Yeah,
scummers and arsehole players.
And to be fair, it's harsh, but it's true, isn't it?
Yeah, and there's no better feeling though as a fan when your player's getting some stick. Every time he went down to take a corner, they were giving him it down that side, and then for him to score that in like the last
City
minute.
Reject and all that sort of stuff. But the thing is, like, I will fucking give him some shit because it'll only come back on you. I want our players. I want them to get angry. I want them to get pissed off. I wanted Rodon to feel it as well. I want, you know, we're hoping that all the Welsh players, obviously barring Roberts, but even Roberts were on. Did you see that thing? That tweet?
I've seen
that,
it.
You shared it, didn't you?
And he goes like,
absolutely class, and he just looks and there's that music. Absolutely brilliant.
Looks at the camera
with his little tash.
Yeah, that's a class video. I mean, let's talk a little bit about. Excellent performances, people who stood out for you. Obviously, we've said the midfield wasn't all that. You didn't rate Rodon, which surprises me. Smart. He was my man of the match.
Did I say Rodon? I meant Ampadu. Sorry. I did say Rodon, didn't I? I didn't mean Rodon at all. I'm talking complete nutter bollocks. I meant Ampadu. I apologise.
Last night, he misplaced some little passes last night.
Rodon's just class. Sorry. Yep, that's me speaking before I've thought about what I'm saying. For a change.
So yeah, I mean, I thought Ampadu was all right. He was his usual self. He was getting about, moving forward. But yeah, he misplaced a few passes. Firpo and Byron were really good for me last night. Really, like, defensively, Firpo, probably one of the best I've seen him. I don't think he got troubled very often. And for a defender that can't defend.
Because he got booked early.
Yeah, he did, didn't he? Yeah,
for
as
well. For absolute bollocks and all. There was a similar challenge straight after, and their player didn't get frigging booked. I was going fucking mad. I could have crushed a grape. Same old shit refereeing. But, you know, they got a lot of decisions their way last night. But we're going to say that, aren't we?
Yeah.
Mate, we've won loads of games this season where the ref's been dreadful. I don't think we've had one good ref.
Yeah.
It's just the standard is just dreadful. Fucking
Nick says, why am I wearing dressed as a Russian sailor? Is that because I've got white and red stripes? White and blue stripes?
Like an even smaller bottle of Jean-Paul Gaultier.
Ah, yeah. But that's French, isn't it?
Just with a slightly larger bottle.
Slightly.
Ever so slightly.
Yeah, talk to me then, Lou. Who were your three standouts from last night?
I think Byron was brilliant last night. Scored a goal with his teeth, which is pretty unique. Somerville
showed Luke Chadwick. Luke Chadwick did that every week, didn't he?
Byron, Somerville, and I couldn't go any further than that, really, last night. I think Somerville just had that spark the entire game where he could make something happen and left it late and did it. But, So also, I guess the shot that was parried into sort of Byron's path was quite a powerful strike. Good save. Somerville was about right. I mean, the Sky commentary team do tend to sort of go, who scored or assisted? Yeah, let's give it to them. But last night, it weren't that
Who was the Sky commentary team last night, by the way? Was it our good friend?
It was Don. Must have been. It was Don Goodman who.
I can't stand that bloke.
He was absolutely creaming his pants when they started arguing over the penalty because you could hear it in his voice that he was like, "Yes, this is the disruption where Leeds missed this penalty, and he can just bang on about how amazing Ipswich are." And honestly, it was just annoying. And I've watched so many games on mute because of those dickheads. Like, they're so annoying. Like, why did Leif Davis get three mentions in Leeds v Hull City last night? I counted it because I heard it three times. Anything that happened down the left-hand side was that Leif Davis would get a mention. It's like, yeah, just get over it, lads. They're loving this Ipswich thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm an awful person, so I'm struggling to give Ipswich any credit. But I'd love to give them some credit at the end of the year. As long as it's not at our expense, I will then shower them with compliments. But right now, they can get in the bin for now.
Yeah, absolutely, mate. Yeah.
Smarty, any advance on those two for you?
No, I think I've already said that my two players were Byron and Cree last night. I thought they were both brilliant. There were some good glimpses, I suppose, in the latter stages of the game. But I think on a whole, I think those two will do for me now.
Yeah, I'd agree. Other than obviously throwing Rodon in Rodon, there, it was gene the crowd up every time he blocked it and made a tackle. He was, even Ampadu was at it as well.
Ampadu was
point.
As well. Yeah.
Wicked. Right, just got a few comments to fly through. Really quickly, Twin71, welcome. I don't think I've seen you here before, so please do subscribe. Heard you. So many people say today, when I watched it back, if I watched it back, I'd be in the LGI. Yeah, I do tend to try and watch bits. I only watch highlights back. I don't tend to really often watch the full game back, but I already know the results, so it wouldn't be the same anyway. And if we lose, I certainly don't watch it back. This is a funny one, isn't it? Like, there seems to be this new trend going around social media that anybody who visits Elland Road has to take a video of when the crowd's silent and then say how shit we are as fans. I don't think we were great last night. I think we were relatively quiet in a lot of stages, but there's a lot of differentials that contribute to that. I mean, the nerves around the place, we've already talked about it early on. There's, it's easy to take a video before kickoff when nobody's even in the fucking seats telling you that you're...
It's the stuff you turn to when you're losing games, not doing very well. Like, I was doing that in the Premier League non-stop. I was at the Emirates. So I was like, this place is a library, though, isn't it? When we're getting battered all over the park, you know, like, I've been there with saying the same thing, where you're like, when all you've got to be proud of is how loud your fans sing and how shit. And that it is like that, obviously, in a lot of Premier League games at Premier League stadiums. But, yeah, that's just what you cling on to, isn't it, when you lose?
It was our badge of honour, and it has been for so long, you know, pre-Bielsa, you know, before we actually started playing proper football. Maybe give Gary Monk a little bit of a nod there as well. Before we started playing proper football, that were our badge of honour. It was the only thing that we could be proud of, really, the fans and the atmospheres that we used to generate at Elland Road. And we still do well at away games, but apparently we're not as loud and as boisterous at away games, Luke. I don't know if you can clarify.
It varies, actually, on where the away game is and who it is, because if it's away fans, it tends to be loud, whereas if it's somewhere quite easy to get to, then lots of people just get tickets, and it's a bit of a mixture. I think one of the worst was when it was fucking horrible. It was rubbish. Norwich was really bad.
Right.
Until we won.
It's one of them. I would say that this season has been pretty naff for the home atmospheres. But like I said before, you know, there's a massive air apprehension, huge anxiety.
Do you think that's down to entitlement? Do you think that's because we're expected to get out of this league?
No, I think it's because we're so nervous.
Not just that, lads. A lot of games are moved. There's been, you obviously get the midweek games in the Championship where people haven't been on the beer. Like, I went to a midweek game against QPR at Elland Road. That 1-0, that was a dreadful atmosphere and a shit game. I think it's hit and miss. It doesn't matter what fan base you are. There's a lot of, you know, circumstances that mean that sometimes it's not always that good. Like, for me this season, for all the games I've been to, and it was quite early on before we even knew we were good, when we beat Millwall 3-0 away, that doesn't happen very often. That was a brilliant day out. Elland Road is at its best when we're up against it, I think. And that's the...
Usually on a Saturday afternoon after a skinful, or half the fan base
We don't have any of them left this season, so...
But it's not, I wouldn't say it's a complacency thing, but the expectation has been that we will win at Elland Road this season. So obviously atmosphere is different. So, I still think it's been pretty good, to be honest.
It's been all right.
It has been good.
4-0, the Ipswich game, 23rd of December, winning 4-0. I thought that was a good atmosphere. A lot of people have even said that the Leicester game at home is one of the best atmospheres they've ever been to. So
that was a Friday night, though.
Yeah,
true. Friday night, exactly. You know,
that's what I mean.
You know,
so that game was moved, wasn't it? But
this is pretty true. This rings true. What Lee says here, the atmosphere can change games, and I said it really, really early on that actually that nervousness does rub off on the players, and you can see it. Do you know what I mean? And that's why I think Ampadu and Rodon were trying to get us going, and that, because they thrive off it, and ultimately it can play a massive, massive part in a lot of games. Jameson says it doesn't matter what the government administrators say, Hull will always be a Yorkshire town. Cool story. Luke says that Hull fan calling Leeds fans a myth. Yeah, going back to the same thing. Sophie Sophie and Noah make a great point. There's two of them here. Around Rutter, actually. But probably, I think we were talking about his defensive sort of part of the game.
Horrible moment.
Was it when it hit him? Is that what led to Dan James' goal?
Yeah. Just before his goal, yeah.
He just basically passed the ball to someone in our...
Yeah, Rutter tried turning away, didn't he? And tried running off with it. He got tackled, the dipstick. And then, ball came flying back towards... our defence.
Was it Rodon that blocked it? It was a hell of a block.
Rodon blocked it, and then Pirro got hold of it, passed it out to Dan James, and and the rest is history, as they say.
Yeah. Rodon is a real warrior, guys. Give him credit. I've given him his credit.
That's my fault, I think, when I met Ampadu. Sorry.
Skips asked a decent question here. If we don't finish in top two now, would it be classed as a failure? I'll take that. I'll let you have that one, Lou.
Hard to say, really. No, because it's a freak season, and... we shouldn't really fear anyone in the playoffs, to be honest, anyway. Not that we want to do it, but it's definitely not a failure. Yeah. It's just, I wouldn't be surprised if this, what is happening this season, never happens again in the Championship. And I know it's always tight in various areas of the table in the Championship, but Southampton are not in it now, thankfully. But there was at one point a potential for four teams to be looking at sort of 100 points. Now it's going to be three teams around that mark. And even though I love this team and I want promotion, still that nagging part of me thinks it will be Leeds' expense and we'll end up in the playoffs. But that I say that every single time something goes against Leeds, like Ipswich scoring, for instance, because I'm a hothead. So it definitely wouldn't be a failure, really. In the grand scheme of things, absolutely not. Points haul-wise, everything Farker said about what he's done in the three seasons in the Championship has been exactly the same. But the difference is, I think, this time is that he has the experience at this stage of the season. I still think Maresca is probably going to shit his pants at some point. Russell Martin already has. McKenna hasn't really come unstuck yet. And there are going to be nerves and decisions that he might make in the running that might cost them. So I'd rather be us and I'd rather be a player for Leeds under Farker, a guy who's done it, basically.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. The tutelage of Daniel Farker, who's got two promotions to his record. So, great question, Skip. That Top Banana says, what was it like remembering the whole game? I still don't remember the whole game, even when I'm sober, so it's pointless like asking. I mean, I should do, but just like, you know, the adrenaline and that, I forget bits all the time. So, yeah, that's the reason I do watch bits back. Skip makes another point here, a really good point. The Kiefer Moore injury, he went off relatively early last night for Ipswich. That could be huge. He's been massive for them since he signed in January.
As it turns out, don't stop him scoring fluky shit goals, though.
No.
They just brought Broadhead on, who scored.
No, they didn't. They brought him on after. It was that El Hamidi, whatever he was called, who came on it for him. Yeah. But there was one more question there. Luke, what's happened to Joffe? I honestly don't know. Farker doesn't seem to rate him, and I think we've just got better options. I don't think Farker knows his position. And if you're looking at him playing in the 10, we've got options in Pirro to come on who can do it. In there, obviously not brilliantly. I actually think Joffe's best games for us have actually when he's played out wide as an inside striker, coming in off the right. But again, we've just got so many good options in front of him to come off the bench. You know, we've got Dan James, we've got Somerville, we've got Anthony, and then we've got Nonto when fit. That actually is actually a fifth choice then. So we just don't have. I just don't think he knows where to play him. And we've seen how he can change games, even in the Premier League. Do you know what I mean?
He'll be gone at the end of the season, I think.
You think?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
I reckon Cresswell might be as
He'll be in this league, I think, Joffe.
Yeah,
he'll be a good Championship player, I think. He has made some impact for Leeds in the Prem, but we got relegated at the end of the day, so.
Yeah, one for you here, Smarty. Fluky shit goals. What planet are you from? I think he must be an Ipswich fan.
Probably.
Yeah, probably. Yeah. He might be thinking I might give a fuck as well.
Yeah, probably.
You do. I mean, you do score fluky shit goals. You score deflections. You score in the 98th minute when there's only going to be seven played. And
I mean,
you make your own luck. You do make your own luck. But go on.
That toe poke last night. Like it looked like I was in goal the way he just sort of
flopped it.
It was just
fuck is
utterly
that?
Ridiculous.
Who did they beat the other day with that really shit shot as well? That fluked in.
God,
they beat somebody the other day, Friday. Who did they beat on Friday? And this was it 1-0?
Yes.
And they rode the luck with that.
I'm not being funny. I don't mind Ipswich and fair play, but they were the fucking
worst. I'd rather
they
went up with us.
Southampton were much fucking better than for the majority of the game. But yeah, if they've got to go up, then I personally believe, and I know others said it, Ipswich will come straight back down. They are not in the position to be in the Premier League. They will pay off a few debts. They will squander their money away But they will be not be an effective force.
No,
in the,
there's
in
no
the
way. There's no chance. Way that team survives. No, no way.
To be fair, we've probably said that about them in this league this year, though, with them coming up from League One. So,
I don't think they were relegation contenders because of what.
Get over yourself, Smythe.
Get over yourself.
Yeah. Look, I think you make your own luck, but there has been an element of late goals and goals that. Just other teams don't seem to be scoring around them. You know, we have to work really hard to score a goal. Do you know what I mean? And we see, you know, I hope they do come up with us, but I hope they don't go up instead of us automatically.
Like I say, as long as it's not at our expense, Ipswich can come up because that's 6 points next season. That's happy days.
You all right, Luke?
Yeah, I'm all right. It's Lou that's frozen on mine. Sorry.
Is it?
No, it's still here.
All right. Sorry about that.
Did you hear all of that, Smarty?
Yeah.
I was saying Ipswich can come up, Luke, because that's six points guaranteed next season, mate.
And seven goals.
Yeah, and seven goals.
Was it seven or eight? Did we score 4-0 and 4-3? Was it eight? Wasn't it eight goals?
Eight goals, yeah.
Yeah.
Belter. One last thing I just wanted to mention before we do close tonight is the respect shown by Hull fans. They deserve a bit of a round of applause for that, for in memory of Chris and Kev, and to the officials and everybody else involved as well. It was a good moment that they actually stopped play while everyone turned their backs for that minute last night. So fair play, and they didn't bring any Turkish flags, which they tend to do to a lot of games out of respect. I didn't see one Turkish flag. I don't know why they take Turkish flags. I think I was asking.
Their owners are Turkish, aren't they?
Yeah, I know that, but I mean, I don't take American flags because our, you know what I mean? It just seems a bit weird anyway.
But, it is a bit strange.
But fair play. Anything else you'd like to add?
Yeah, I just want to say that Hull ultimately were a good team. Their two best players were Liverpool players, which is worth mentioning. But I think Rossini is clearly a good coach. I think he was quite humble. I think he's probably quite a good bloke as well. I quite like what he said afterwards. He has quite a good temperament. I think he'll probably go places coaching wise. I think he's done a really good job. They were really difficult to play against, so fair play to him. And he wasn't a dickhead, which is not always guaranteed. You know, you get managers saying weird stuff in these situations sometimes when they're playing against big clubs. And not that he gives a fuck, but I was quite impressed with him. I thought I quite liked him.
Yeah, no, fair comments, certainly. Big up to Hull. No tragedy chanting. Put my teeth back in. But we are back tomorrow night for the main pod, I believe. I'm not sure who's on. I think it might be me again with Gilly and somebody else. I don't know if it's you, Smythe, actually.
Yeah, so it's me, you, and Gilly tomorrow.
We'll be back tomorrow. If you do like the video, please do like and subscribe. If you don't, I don't care.
Please like and subscribe to our channel so we can bring you more wonderful content like what you've just been watching. Yeah. Apart from you, Gray, whatever your name is, you can fuck right off.
on that note then, I think that'll probably do. Thanks ever so much again, Smarty, for joining us. Lou, as ever, thanks for joining us on your week night, I suppose, when you might be doing better stuff than talking to me and Smarty. We'll see you back here tomorrow, probably either 8 or 8:30. So do as I say, like and subscribe, and
all the best for the rest of the season, Gray, mate.
We'll see you tomorrow. Cheers.
See you, mate.
See you.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Thank you for listening to another Otto Know Better podcast, the independent Leeds United podcast. You can engage with us via our socials on YouTube and Twitter at the address @OttoKnowBetter with your thoughts on the show or subjects you'd like us to discuss. You can even join us live and have your say while we're recording on our YouTube channel for the main weekly show and the Berardi and Coke aftermatch podcasts. We've 3 years' worth of content you can listen back to, from interviews with former Leeds players and managers to Hollywood stars. Maybe choose carefully which match reviews to check out though. Remember to subscribe on whichever app you choose to follow us on.